Well, Happy New Year. It's lovely to see you. Anybody want to volunteer what church season we've just entered? Epiphany, that's right. The time of awareness, the revelation of Jesus being the Son of God. And particularly today, the church across the world is celebrating the baptism of Jesus, another time where God reveals who Jesus is, his beloved Son. But this year, we've started a new season of teaching, living the way of Jesus. What does it mean to live as Jesus lived? And this is our second week. We started last week, and we are going to be looking at what it means to live a life of forgiveness. And throughout this whole season, if you were here last week, you will know that we're reading through the Gospel of Mark. And I want to just encourage you during this time to sit and dwell in the Gospel of Mark. And even during that time, perhaps sit down and read the Gospel of Mark all the way through. It would probably take you about an hour and a half. It's the shortest Gospel. But it's the most thrilling gospel. There's a great urgency and excitement that Mark has racing towards the culmination of Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. So just encourage you to do that during this time. So can I invite you to stand? As I said, it's a time of when Jesus is revealed to the world as to who he is. And this is a beautiful piece of scripture from Isaiah 60. So let us say this together. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the air. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. So God in Christ has revealed his glory. Come, let us worship. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the Lord's name is greatly to be praised. Give him praise, you servants of the Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. So let us praise the name of the Lord in song.
And we've got lots of instruments down here. If any of our young ones would like to come and play, I know you love to play along. So do come on down and give it some beat. Help Barry. Help Barry to keep in time, yeah? Great. Okay. Choose your instrument. Okay, I'm going to start up.
Let us, as we begin this new year, let us dwell in that truth of how great the Lord is. Some of our lives will be challenging. Some of our lives will be comfortable and easy and flourishing. And others, much, much more challenging. But whether it's good or difficult, the Lord is our solid foundation. He is the great Lord that we can rely on and who will carry us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. Children, if you want to stay up the front, Ellie's going to come and lead us in our intercessions, which we're going to do at this stage before the children go out to their groups. So children, if mums and dads want to come and sit down here while we pray, that's wonderful.
Good morning. As we pray together, I thought you could join with me. So when I say, Lord, guide our footsteps, can you join with me and say, lead us closer to Christ? Shall we try that? Lord, guide our footsteps, lead us closer to Christ. Excellent. So as we join together for one of the first times this year, I would love to pray for the church in this season. So, Lord, please refresh us. Help us to know you more in this coming year, to grow closer to you and to rely on you in an even greater way. Lord, guide our footsteps. Lead us closer to Christ. We pray for all those children and teenagers heading back to school in the last week and in this coming week. We pray for those with exams coming up, for those struggling with new COVID restrictions, and that you would find peace in this place. We pray that for those who are finding school difficult, that they would know your love and your blessing in the next few months. Lord, guide our footsteps. Lead us closer to Christ. We pray for everyone on the front lines, NHS staff, delivery drivers, shop workers, teachers, carers, and many more. We pray that they would know your strength, that you would protect them from COVID, and that you would provide support when they need support. Lord, guide our footsteps. Lead us closer to Christ. We pray for our government, that they would put the restrictions in place as needed and work together to help minimize the impact of this terrible virus. And we thank you for the vaccine, Lord, and that you would bless this country. And we pray that other countries would get access to the vaccine and all the people who need it would get it. Lord, guide our footsteps. Lead us closer to Christ. Thought it would be good to now take a moment just among yourselves to just thank God for the blessings from this Christmas period, for time with family and friends, and for Zoom and FaceTime for those who could not be with family and friends. Now let's have a think about what we're excited for in this coming year, what needs prayer. It could be anything, exams, friendship, more time outside, maybe an upcoming marriage. So just take a moment to to pray for that, whatever it may be. Lord, guide our footsteps. Lead us closer to Christ. Amen.
There are two readings today. The first one is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The second reading is from Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Living as those made alive in Christ. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Derek. Lord Jesus, help us to have the heart to hear your word and your truth. Thank you for what you will share with us and stir with us this morning. Amen. Well, living the way of Jesus, a life of forgiveness. Our reading from Mark places us in the early months, perhaps even weeks, of Jesus' public ministry. Having been baptized, tested in the wilderness, and recruited his disciples, Jesus is confronting the powers of darkness. So far, there is less teaching and more action. He's driving out demons, he's healing the sick, and so, of course, news is spreading fast about what he's up to. And now we find ourselves in Capernaum, where crowds have gathered, and as it says in verse 2, there is no room left, not even outside the door. If this passage of scripture was a play, I think there are two distinct acts. Act 1 is the healing of the paralytic, and then Act 2 is the confrontation with the teachers of the law. So let's just have a look at Act 1. Act 1 is this wonderful story of some men carrying their paralytic friend, desperate to see him healed. Don't we all need friends like that in life? Perhaps you need those friends now at this present time. Aren't there times when we're all paralyzed and need friends to carry us in prayer or practically into the presence of Jesus? But these friends confront a barrier, a great crowd. Not to be outwitted, they head for the roof. Once there, they have to overcome a second barrier, the roof itself. So they start digging, break open the roof, and before them lower the man down in front of Jesus, who of course then heals him. What amazing friends and what determination and faith and perseverance they showed. I think this tells us something about how we need to be at times as well, to contend, to enter into the presence of Jesus, to overcome barriers that we might face that would crowd in and crowd out Jesus. Barriers such as perhaps sickness and disappointment, discouragement, anger, unforgiveness, things that separate us from God. Or they may be distractions of the world, work, hobbies, food, TV, sports, all sorts of comforts that tempt us away from hanging out with Jesus. And we also, of course, it calls us to be alert for when we need to be the persevering friends for others, as well as to recognise when we need those friends in our circumstances to help us. So that's a summary of Act 1. Act 2 is the confrontation between the teachers of the law and Jesus. The outrage is that every Jew knows only God can forgive sins. And yet here, Jesus declares to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the teachers of the law declare, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Of course, that's the point. Jesus is beginning to reveal his true identity, the Son of God. Though this is too shocking for the teachers of the law to comprehend or accept. But for us at the heart of this story and this plot, the thing that links Act 1 and Act 2 is Jesus' declarations, "Your sins are forgiven, and get up, take your mat, and go home," i.e., be healed. And perhaps more shocking is that Jesus interweaves and interchanges those two declarations. Now, the relationship between sin and sickness is a teaching for another day. That's not my focus today. This is a challenging part of our faith, and we shouldn't ignore it. It does cause great anxiety for people, but it's and also difficulty. And I just want to encourage you, if that is something causes you difficulty and is worrying you, an area of anxiety for you at any point, then please come and talk to me and we can find perhaps a moment to be able to chew that over. But what I want to focus on, and what really comes out of that, is that Jesus is against everything that stands in the way of human flourishing, sin or disease. And here Jesus declares both forgiveness of sins and healing of the body, themes that are right at the heart of Jesus' ministry and mission to the world. Now, we're exploring living the way of Jesus, and this morning, a life of forgiveness. And here we witness the centrality of forgiveness to Jesus' ministry, which he goes on to reinforce throughout his short teaching life and through his teaching and his miracles. Think of the woman caught in adultery. Think of the parable of the lost son. And of course, at the crescendo of his earthly ministry, his death on the cross, when in pain and despair, he declares, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." At his death, he becomes the sacrificial lamb, taking upon himself our deserved punishment for our sins and rebellion, and releases forgiveness to all who will receive him and reconcile them with God. Forgiveness is at the very heart of our faith. It is the very essence of Jesus' ministry and his mission to the world. And if it's the very essence of Jesus' ministry, then it must be the heart of our faith as a church and as people, as individuals. We are called to live a life of forgiveness as Jesus was. And we don't have to look too hard into the scriptures to see this flow in all aspects of Jesus' teaching and scripture. Just think of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Think of when Peter and Jesus are talking, Jesus is talking about forgiveness, and Jesus and Peter says to Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? What's Jesus' reply? No, not seven times, but 77 times, i.e. keep on forgiving. So let's look at forgiveness for a while, for a moment. What is forgiveness? Let us understand what it actually means. Now, forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. And in doing that, we entrust the desire for justice into God's hands. Now, inherently as human beings, we all desire justice. God's nature is for righteousness and justice, and we are made in his image, and therefore we desire that for ourselves. So when we are offended and hurt, we naturally desire to exact justice. And forgiveness is effectively choosing to hand over the other person and or group of people, and to the handing over that need to exact justice over to God, and trusting in God as the judge and not us as the judge. And this is a wonderfully freeing thing. But of course, it isn't very easy for us. And I think we can all probably recognize that very quickly. It's also important to know what forgiveness is not. When you forgive, you're not glossing over or denying the pain or the offense. It's something that can often be confused, that we think that by forgiving someone, we're ignoring and denying the hurt and the offense. It's not the case. What we are doing is releasing our desire for vengeance and justice, and releasing it and them and the event into God's hands to be the judge. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing the offense or the other person's behavior. But forgiving does release us from the self-destructive feelings we often carry with unforgiveness. What are those types of feelings when we hold on to unforgiveness? Anger, bitterness, pain, shame, fear, and I'm sure there are many others you could name. Unforgiveness is like a poison. But sadly, it's poisoning us rather than the other person. So the anger that we feel and hang on to, sadly, is not doing anything for the other person generally, but it's completely eating us up and destroying us. It's like a poison. And we're poisoning ourselves if we hang on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness seeps into our thinking, into our hearts and our behavior in a way that just corrupts us and divides us. Just think of a moment where you've been angry with someone. It starts taking energy. It starts distracting us. We dwell on that rather than actually continuing to live freely and enjoy love. It becomes a burden upon which we carry rather than feel free. The other thing is that unforgiveness leads us to separation. And it's inextricably destructive. It's incredibly destructive to us that poison causes us to move away from the other person. Unforgiveness sets barriers up between people and can tear us apart. If I'm offended and angry, say, with my wife or friend or my children or work colleague, then those emotions stop me from being fully engaged with that other person, to fully loving and caring for my wife if I'm angry with her. Unforgiveness divides and separates. Now you think of Jesus' ministry and his way of life, a life of forgiveness. Jesus' life is marked by him reaching out across the barriers that separate and divide. Jesus dwelt with the rejected, the marginalized, the sick, the sinful. He brought Gentiles and Jews together, and there he forgave their sins and healed them. Now, there is a caveat here about the way that unforgiveness divides. Forgiving somebody or a group of people as a result of something doesn't necessarily mean that it requires us to reconcile that relationship with the person who's harmed you. Now, I think that's an ideal. I think that's kingdom. I think that's what Jesus did. But we are broken human beings, and there is great wisdom about what we allow ourselves to go into. So if someone has hurt us because of their behaviour, there has to be some wisdom about whether we actually reconcile that or re-engage into an active relationship with that person. I mean, just an extreme example. If there is someone whose behaviour doesn't change and that's been an abusive relationship, then yes, a kingdom ideal is that that relationship would be restored. But it requires two people to engage in that. And so it's not about reconciling, keep going back into that relationship and therefore risk constantly being offended, harmed or hurt. There is wisdom. So forgiving doesn't mean you have to reconcile. But obviously, if I don't reconcile with my wife every time I get annoyed with her or she, we've got a problem in our marriage and that needs addressing. So obviously there's wisdom in that. But I have heard, and you'll be aware, that sometimes I think, well, do I now, I've forgiven that person, do I now need to be best friends with that person again? The answer is no. But if we can forgive, if we can trust God, who also Jesus said, we're not the judge. If we can trust God, knowing that God is a God of justice, that ultimately there is a day when we will all answer to how we've behaved. If we can hand those people, those circumstances, that individual over and say, God, I trust you to deal with this. I remove my desire for vengeance, to be heard, to defend myself, and trust that I receive your healing and just allow the other person into God's hands. It is amazingly freeing. We are set free from the anger, the pain, the offence, the desire for retribution and vengeance. Forgiveness brings freedom. It brings peace of mind. It means you can sleep at night. You're not churning that situation over. You're just free to be who you are once again because you're not carrying the baggage of the bitterness or the anger. Just think of the ongoing forgiveness that comes through Jesus and the Lord to humanity, to you and I, for where we constantly and consistently reject him and his ways. Goodness, we put him on a cross and crucified him as humanity, and yet God still forgives and desires and loves each and every one of us. We are called, as Jesus was called, to a life of forgiveness. It's not easy because our pride gets in the way and we want justice. But can we hand that over to the Lord? So as we begin a new year, is this an opportunity for us to start afresh? Is it an opportunity to remove perhaps some barriers that we carry, some unforgiveness that has been holding us back from flourishing and living freely? Where might we still be poisoning ourselves because of unforgiveness? Now, it's not easy, and there is a journey in this, because we might be right in the midst of a very painful situation where unforgiveness seems almost impossible. And I really, really do understand that. I've been there, and many of us, if not all of us, somewhere has probably been there. But you know, there is forgiveness is a choice rather than an emotional feeling. And even being able to say, Lord, I don't know what this means, and I don't know, but I know it's part of your kingdom is to forgive. Help me forgive is the most wonderful thing. And if that's the first step for you, then amen and bless you. But some of us might have ongoing stuff that actually we can sit there and say, Lord, I can genuinely forgive. And I think there's something about when we forgive and we know it's a done deal or it's been done well, we also can speak blessing onto that person. And that is the opposite spirit. So be able to say, I forgive that person. And do you know what? I pray blessing over that person. Lord, you know their situation. I just release them into your hands and I bless them. That is spiritually a massive, massive thing in the spirit, a weapon in the spirit, in the spiritual battles and the warfares that we face in life. So, it's all very well talking about it or listening to me about it. Why don't we actually do it? So I want to encourage, we're going to have a moment of quiet. And it's not about going hunting into our hearts. Okay, Lord, show me where? I just want to encourage you, sit and dwell and allow the Spirit to raise up in your heart and to trust what comes to your mind or stirs in your heart. And just say, Lord, where am I carrying unforgiveness? Or, Lord, is there someone I need to forgive? And then when you've got that person or situation, there may be a situation, just say, Lord, if you feel able to, say, Lord, I forgive. I choose to forgive. Remember, it's an act of the will. It's from here rather than emotional. It might stir all sorts of emotion in you, and that's okay, because actually that still says it's real. And so just take that step. And if you feel you can bless that situation or that person, then again, try and do that. It's just a simple, I bless them, I release them into your hands. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. This is good healing stuff. This is spiritual, right kingdom stuff for each of us, to bring us freedom, to enable us to flourish as allowing other people to flourish as well. So let me pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and stir and work in our hearts. Speak to us now in this moment of quiet. We're called to live a life of forgiveness. And that's an everyday thing. You know, each day, where do we get annoyed with people or get offended by people? Just be quick to forgive. And suddenly those spiritual connections will just be immediately broken. That anger, that bitterness, that discouragement, it doesn't dwell because you've released it. And it's very hard. Some of us may be forgiving people that we have forgiven endlessly through our lives because of, you know, hurts years and years and years ago. But, you know, that is the ongoing journey of sanctification in our lives. And as Jesus said, it's not seven times, it's 77 times. So Jesus, let me just finish. Jesus said to the paralytic, "Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven." Jesus was living, that was his way of life, forgiving sins, and therefore we're called to that. The nature of God's character is to forgive and show mercy and to reconcile the world to himself, to bridge the separations between us. And therefore, we're called to that. And therefore, let me finish with reading Colossians, which Derek read out. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Amen. We will constantly upset each other. The question is whether we'll be very quick to forgive and bless the other person. Now, we're going to have communion in just a moment. I mean, what a place to bring any hurts, any unforgiveness, any person that you've been wrestling with into this situation and bringing sharing the bread and the wine as a place of release and blessing and meeting Jesus, encountering Jesus in that place. And so in part of our response, can I invite you to stand, and we're going to say a confession together, and then we'll declare our faith. So Jesus saw into the heart of that paralyzed man and knew what he needed most was the inward healing that comes from receiving God's forgiveness. And this is our greatest need too. So let us make our confession now. God our Father, long-suffering, full of grace and truth, you have created us from nothing and given us life. You do not turn your face from us, nor cast us aside. We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbor. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Heal us and restore us for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the God of all healing and forgiveness cleanse us from our sins, restore us in his image, and grant us the joy of his salvation, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so let us declare our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called children of God. We meet in the name of Christ and share his peace. And when we forgive, we bring peace to the situation, not only to ourselves, but to the other person. So the peace of the Lord always be with you. Thank you. Please turn to the person next to you and those around you and share a sign of the peace. Perhaps a wave, a smile, if you can do that through a mask. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please take a seat. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising glory, send your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise. Lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one in body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So there'll be two stations, one at the back, one at the front. If you want gluten-free or non-alcoholic, then please come to the front station. And just be sensitive as we move backwards and forwards, obviously, just with keeping separation. So just watch the cues and flow as we go. But I encourage you, as we come and share, reflect back on just offering those areas of unforgiveness or people, and bring that to this table and this holy place, and leave them there. That's the point, is leave them with Jesus. Don't take them back to your seat. Amen. To stand and let us say the post-communion prayer together. God of glory, you nourish us with your word, who is the bread of life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Can trust in your love and your presence. Your love will never, ever run out on us. Amen. Can I invite you to take a seat? Just a couple of things that we want to share with you. Jutta, would you like? Most of you will be aware that Jutta's husband, Morris, had a heart attack on New Year's Day and passed away. And she has been the most amazing strength at the moment through the most terrible, terrible times. But you lot have been extraordinary over the last week, and Jutta just wants to say something to you.
Yes, I just, as you can imagine, this was a tremendous shock. And I've been, we've been looking forward to moving this year. It was a very turbulent year. We didn't really plan to move, but we were asked to move. And we found a place to move, which we secured. Then Morris had some health concerns that he got through. Miraculously, God restored an eyesight, his eyesight that he was failing, and he would have been blind. And some of you might have seen his testimony that encouraged you to continue to trust in God, that he will do what he can do for him. And then miraculously, he saw again, and he met with his family. We had a wonderful time with his son, who was in Mexico for the last 25 years and relocated to the UK with his children, and we met with them before Christmas. Then we had a wonderful time, Morris, me, and his youngest son. We have a patchwork family of five children from Morris's and his previous wife's marriage. So I would appreciate if you could pray for all of them, because they don't all grew up with their dad, or they grew up with their stepdad and not with their own families, and a lot of pain came up. But they've all been by my side and supported me. And you as a church family have been such a tremendous support to me in prayer and in practical help by decorating the bungalow that I had planned to decorate before we moved in, and before I now can move in by myself. And it just makes me really feel excited to move to the place now, because it's all fresh and it's a place where Morris was really looking forward to moving in with me. So I just pray that something good will come out of this. And your sermon was quite poignant, because a lot of hurt and unforgiveness were worked out in the family as we're meeting all together about the areas of lives that they missed of their dad. And there's boundless more to come, and more hurt and pain and sadness. But I feel that there is healing in this. And God gave me a word about... I was just trying to work it out. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet, which is that story of sons and the riddle. Out of the strong came something sweet. And out of this, well, a lion had to die for there to be a swarm of bees. Out of the death that happened, or the, you know, Morris being called to God's glory, there is going to be a healing as well. And there's already been experienced people getting in touch with me that I thought I hadn't been. I've lost contact, and wonderful things have already happened, that extended members of the family that we lost touch with got in touch. So I just want to thank you all for praying anyway for me and for the whole family, please. There's some delay in getting the death certificate, so we're waiting. Some pressures with sorting everything because the family is widespread. So I would really appreciate your prayers in the meantime, and for me. Thank you.
Let's pray for Jutta at this time. If you want to extend a hand out. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that Morris knew you and had rediscovered an excitement for his faith in this last autumn. But we also know what a shock and challenge and sadness this is for the family. Lord, we thank you that you are our strength, and you will carry the family, be their comfort,
thank you, Lord,
and journey with them in this difficult time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you. So let me finish with the blessing. May God the Father keep you all in your days. May God the Son shield you in all your ways. May God the Spirit bring you healing and peace. May God the Holy Trinity drive all darkness from you and pour upon you blessing and light. and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and with us now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.